Sportsnet.com. Pierre, how are you doing?
Really good, Simon. How are you?
Good. Pierre, before we get into the hockey talk here, I have a friend of mine who travels a lot. And one of the things he did about 10, 15 years ago, he fell in love with American college football. He's gone to see the Iron Bowl, Alabama versus Auburn. He's seen Penn State versus Michigan. He's actually even out to the West Coast to see UCLA and USC. But he told me years ago that if there was one game that he can continue to take in because there's nothing like it, was the Army-Navy game. And listening on Friday to you and Mitch, and you attended the game on the weekend, didn't you?
I did, and I had a blast. And I'm really grateful to the Naval Academy and the alums from there that helped shepherd my way into the game. I'm really grateful. I had a blast. It's something I'll never forget. If you're a football fan, it's something, if you ever have the opportunity to do, please do it. It's just, and what it does more than anything else, when you're in the stadium, it reaffirms your belief that things are only going to get better in our society because of the young people that represent either West Point or the Naval Academy. The cadets from West Point and the midshipmen from Navy, when you meet those young people in their dress uniforms and you see the way they carry themselves and the way they articulate their positions, oh my gosh, the world's going to be such a better place. These are awesome, awesome young people.
Good. That's great to hear. All right, so let's get into this hockey conversation here. Earlier today, the Canadians announced that Victor Mete will be, I guess I use the soccer term, would be on loan to the Canadian Wool Junior program that goes down in Buffalo this December. Pierre, I was talking about it before with Rod and Mitch here about how it's played out for Victor Mete. I'm content with the season because I just he's not ready to play at this level, but I believe that he will be able to play at this level going forward. How have you seen thus far the Victor Mete situation?
Well, I'm really happy for the young man. This is the first positive step forward that they've done with him, which is really good. You could see from the start, and Rod could tell you weren't on with us. I didn't like the direction they were going with the young man. I thought they were force-feeding him too much too soon. But this is a really good fallback position. In fact, this is a phenomenal fallback position. And what I will say to you, Simon, as I've said to many people around hockey, the Canadians need to do the same thing the St. Louis Blues did with Alex Pietrangelo. When Alex Pietrangelo turned pro, he's a 19-year-old, he played 8 or 9 games with the Blues. They realized it was too much too soon. They sent him to the World Junior in Ottawa, and he did well on a gold medal winning team. And then the next year, they allowed him to go and play for the World Junior team that lost in an unbelievable, one of the best gold medal games ever to the United States on a John Carlson golden goal. But go look at the stats for Alex Pietrangelo from the first year that he went to the second year that he went and see how good he is. So that's the position. And hopefully there's enough experience in that front office that they'll realize that's the direction and the position they need to go in. And if they do that with this player, it's going to be nothing but positive. And I don't know. You would have to tell me because I haven't been following it today. Did they get a guarantee that he was going to be on the team?
I don't think I've read that anywhere. Mitch?
No, he's attending camp.
Well, I hope that they negotiated that he's deaf. I hope that they negotiated that we're going to give this guy to you with the understanding he's going to be on the team. Because if he goes there and he doesn't make the team, then you got a problem.
No kidding.
And that's why, again, I'm not trying to be mean. I hope there's enough experience in that office that they would make sure that they had that set with Hockey Canada. Now, they don't have to say anything publicly. I get that. But I'm just telling you, if he doesn't make that team, then they drop the ball big time as a group.
And if he were to make the team, Pierre, what does this mean for the young man? I'm looking at it like there's so many positives here, right? Because here he came on and he take on a role and he played Weber and he got bounced around and he sat a little bit. And that's fine because I believe that's, you know, par for the course for a 19-year-old. But when he goes to Canada, it's going to be nice for him to be the man, to be leaned on, right? To lead by example.
No, what needs to happen is he goes there and to Mitch Melnick's good friend and my good friend and Rod Francis's good friend, Stu Hackel, our New York correspondent earlier today as I was driving around. And that's what we were talking about. hopefully he's going to go there and dominate. And if he goes and dominates, that's going to be phenomenal. That'll be amazing for his growth. This goes back, this takes me back to when there were members, and I said this before, Rod, tell me if I'm wrong on anything. When Guillaume Laton-Dresse was rushed into the NHL, and there was this unbelievable pent-up fury in the media, especially the written side. This guy's NHL ready. He needs to play. He needs to do. And I'm going, wait a second. Did you watch him in the 06 World Junior? I'm saying this to myself. Because you know what happened in the 06 World Junior? He made the team, and he hardly played. So he didn't dominate anything. And then there were people actually writing, what does he have left to do by going back to junior? What does he have left to do? I'll tell you what he has to do. He gets to go back and dominate. And that's when a guy becomes NHL ready, when they dominate peer group to peer group to peer group. And that was the mistake and the foible of the previous management team with Laton-Dresse, and that's why his career was so short. And I don't want to see the same thing happen with Mete. But that's what I'm hoping, is that he's going to go dominate and really learn how to be a dominant player. And when you do that, guess who you end up like? Charlie McAvoy.
And as far as Pietrangelo is concerned, by the way, 2009 World Junior Championship, his first year, it was 3 points in six games. Year two that Pierre was talking about, 2010, with Canada at the World Junior Championship, 12 points in just six World Junior Championship games.
I mean, again, that's a few road trips ago for me, but that really stood out. And that's where, if you're running the proper hockey operations, you're aware of those kinds of things. And you make sure that you're paying attention, and that's how you sell it to the kid when he's going down.
As far as Mete, for fans that are going to be watching him at the World Junior Championship here, he goes from, you know, playing 27 games with the Montreal Canadiens, playing with men. Now he's playing with junior players. Fans are going to have big expectations, but at the same time, they got to realize, right, that he's playing with the best players at that age group.
You are playing best on best, and you... I'll give you an example. Right in your wheelhouse, Mitch Gallo. Mikhail Sergachev last year was good at the World Junior. He was not great, but he was good. He was more than adequate. His team didn't get to the gold medal game, but he was good. And I was there live for a bunch of his games. But what got him over the top was that experience and then the Memorial Cup run that his team went on. You put those two developmental tools together, that's how you evolve as a player. So that, there's another example of just how this can really play out for him. There should be elevated expectation on him. But a lot of times, it depends on the players that are around you, too, and the role that the coach creates for you. I got to think that Dominic Ducharme is going to create a really good role for this guy, especially with Chabot not being there. Thomas Chabot was such an important part of Team Canada last year. He will obviously won't be there, and that's where I think Mete can jump in.
Now, just to confirm again, now publicly, the Canadians didn't say anything about any arrangement or any guarantee about Mete making the team. So it's just a commitment to send him to training camp. And assuming he makes the team, Pierre, how much coordination is there between the Canadians and Ducharme and Hockey Canada during the tournament?
I don't think you should really be communicating much during the tournament, because that's where you usually inundate the tournament rod with scouting eyeballs, and you can really evaluate that way. When you're in that World Junior bubble and you're coaching in it, or you're broadcasting in it, or you're playing in it, you don't really care what the outside world thinks at that time. It's a different kind of pressure and scrutiny. I went through nine of them broadcasting, and, you know, Gord Miller could tell you, Ray Ferraro could tell you. You're in a different kind of climate from when the tournament starts, whether you're in Europe or North America, to when it finishes. You're in a different bubble. You really are. You're not really paying attention to stuff, so you don't care what people on the outside say.
Pierre, I just want to stick with the Habs here. Losers on Saturday to the Edmonton Oilers. 6-2 was the final. And I'm watching the game, and I'm just watching Jonathan Drouin-Pierre, and I'm just wondering, from my perspective, it just seems to me that here's a young man that, you know, I remember watching in that playoff series against the Devils, where I thought he was the best player in that series, and I remember the highlight reel goals when he played for the Lightning, even going back to the days in the queue. And I just, you know, like, you know, he's fighting it a little bit, and I just find that he's more worrisome about his own end. And it seems to me that he's worried so much about being in the right place on the defensive side of the rink that it's come at the expense of his offensive production. And how do you I guess they try to program him in a certain way to be a little bit more of a complete player, but how do you just like unleash him a little bit more offensively? What does the coaching staff need to do to just get him going more offensively?
Move him to the wing.
Yeah.
Which is what we said when they got him.
Yeah.
This is not working. I feel terrible for Jonathan. He's a winger. He's a playmaking winger. There's a whole lot of Alex Tanguy in him. Alex Tanguy was in his prime, was a tremendous, tremendous player. One of the best playmaking wingers I've seen in a long time coming out of Halifax in Major Junior Hockey, the same program that obviously gave you Jonathan Drouin. So there was a lot of similar, a little bit like Marcus Naslund, a player I had the privilege of helping the draft into the league. There's a lot of that in Jonathan Drouin. They're hard to find playmaking wingers. Usually they're pure scorers, not playmakers. But he's one of them, and he can shoot the puck and score. But if you alleviate those defensive responsibilities from him, and especially now with the red line out, Simon, allow him to fly the zone, you're going to unleash a beast, an offensive beast. But the way they're doing it now, and I understand they just don't have a lot of center ice depth. I totally understand, so I'm not blaming anybody. But it's not, you're not maximizing the asset by playing at center because it's not a center.
Well, see, that's what we're all wondering, because we watch him and we see, you know, him playing center, and it's pretty evident that it's not his natural position, and they don't have anybody, though. Like, what are they supposed to do if they want to put him on wing? They have no better
what
options.
What about Galchenyuk? He can't play center? I watch him play center. He was pretty good at center.
I would concur.
Yeah, but, you know, they're being stubborn. They've made up their mind. They're saying this is not going to happen.
They were stubborn on Victor Mete, too. How's that working out?
Yep.
Well, we brought this up here during the show, and if they're reluctant to go to Galchenyuk back at center, you know, I asked Mitch and I asked Rod. It seems that, you know, very trendy right now for coaches to go with pairings, and they're going to go with Galchenyuk and Drouin. And is there anybody in the lineup that maybe can help them at center? And Mitch Gallo brought up maybe you put Andrew Shaw between them for a little bit, see how that works out. Can that work?
Yeah, I mean, it can. If you were, let me just do this with you guys. This might put it into perspective. I'll ask you guys a question. Would Andrew Shaw be one of the first two centermen for the New Jersey Devils?
No, not a chance.
Okay. I think you're playing them next, right?
Yes.
Thursday night.
Catch that game on TSN 6.
Okay. So that's my answer in a snapshot.
Okay, but at some point, Pierre, you have to find solutions. And if it's not going to be, then Galchenyuk, because, you know, I thoroughly enjoyed watching him play center. You go back a couple of years. And if they're not going to make that move, which I just simply don't believe that I'm going to wake up one day and I'm going to go on PSN.ca and they're going to be talking about Galchenyuk moving back at the middle. Maybe it's something they address in the offseason. I don't know, but I just don't think I'm going to be living.
No, I agree with you. No, we agree 100%. So outside of going outside the room, I just don't know where else they can go. And again, there's not a lot of assets there that you can trade. The one thing I really do admire, and I'm telling you guys this straight up from the bottom of my heart, that what they did today was positive. That's where Victor needs to be. That will help enhance his development tremendously. It's really good. It's smart. The only thing I'm worried about is they didn't make a calculated move with Hockey Canada. And if you ever, you know, and maybe they did. Maybe they did, and they're not sharing that, which is smart, by the way, very smart. But I hope they ensured his position on that team. I really do.
Pierre, is there any team like the Canadiens that seems so reluctant to trust their best players in big situations, like Montreal with Drouin and Galchenyuk and some of their good offensive players? So you mentioned New Jersey. I'm pretty sure they're not sheltering Hischier or any of their, or Taylor Hall or their top offensive guys. I know Toronto doesn't do it really with Matthews and Nylander, although there has been some hard love at time with Babcock with those guys. I know Tampa Bay trusts Stamkos and Kucherov in big situations. I just don't understand why there's such a reluctance to trust their offensive style players.
I just think there's a learning curve. Every coach does it differently. This is not a knock on any, whether you're doing it the way New Jersey's doing it and Johnny Hines down there, who I think is doing a great job with their team, or what Claude Julien's doing with Montreal. I don't think he's doing it the wrong way. I think everybody's got their own thing. I think where you got an issue, and I've said this before, and I hate to say it because I love the guy. I really do. I like Guy Boucher a ton. I really have a lot of respect for him. I don't think he's handled Shabbat properly, and I don't think as an organization they've handled Colin White properly. And they can quote chapter and verse all the numbers of both those guys when they played in the American League. I could care less. I'll give you the numbers of best on best at the World Junior for both players. And then tell me how many guys that they blew by at the World Junior that are playing in the NHL now and playing well. And I don't buy any of that stuff. The American League is not the NHL. It's a completely different league. It's a very, very hard league to play in when you got extraordinary hockey sense. It really is. It's just a different league. So I don't know. I mean, I think the Canadians right now, and they're a unique brand because they're such a big brand. I think there's an inherent pressure that goes along with playing there that maybe they're trying to shield some guys, which I understand too, by the way. I do.
Well, it also kind of feels like some of the pressure is causing them to be stubborn, as you said, in a couple situations, Pierre. And, like, having belief in your own strategy, that's good. Like, you should believe in what you're doing. But when that crosses over to stubbornness and you're not open to saying, you know, maybe we should change course on this, that's a problem.
It is, but I don't know if that's happening or not. You'd have to spend more time around them. I totally understand what you're saying, Rod. I just, because I'm not privy to their meetings. I haven't spoken with their ownership group in a very long time. I haven't done any of their games, even though I watch every single one of them. I haven't seen them practice. So it's a different thing to be inside, and it's a whole other thing to be inside. And I'm on the outside for sure because I'm not there. So it would be unfair for me to answer what you just asked.
So Saturday night, Carey had a real rough one. They were off on Sunday. They were off today. Today was a CBA mandated off day. Full practice tomorrow and Wednesday. Do you expect them to be, like, fans are worried, Pierre, that now we're going to see the Carey Price of October again. Can you reassure them that that's not going to happen?
I don't think that'll happen. That's not my concern. Goalies have bad games from time to time. That's just the harsh reality of it. So I don't think that's a big issue. I really don't. I know people are probably saying, yeah, right. I don't. I think he's going to have a bounce back. I was more concerned about him at the beginning of the year. Rod, remember when I said that to Melnyk?
Yep.
And he was like, what?
Yeah.
I said, I'm telling you, I'm concerned about the guy. I'm not concerned about him right now. Here's my concern. Emotional game at Ottawa. Then you go out west and you got to do that Bermuda Triangle of Vancouver, Calgary, Edmonton. Then you come home for Christmas. You get fat and stupid. As a team, you do. It's just a harsh reality because you got a lot of days off. Then you go to Carolina, you go to Tampa, you go to Florida. Last I checked, that's 7 games on the road. That's a huge. This is their season. Whether you like it or not, this is their season, especially if Boston keeps winning. This is their season coming up because they're not catching Tampa and they're not catching Toronto. So this is their season coming up.
Pierre, just looking at the Habs blue line on Saturday night. I just don't know the Ben Weber pairing. I don't get it. I'm not buying it. I'm not buying it for a second. But I will say that I was very surprised last year that Alexi Yemelin and Shea Weber worked out for a while. But this pairing clearly against a team like the Edmonton Oilers that play with incredible pace and play with this incredible speed, I just think it's just not a good top pairing. Now, I was working in the summer when they went out and acquired Schlemko. You got to think that when they made that acquisition this summer, probably thought that it was over with them and Andre Markov. Isn't Schlemko, when you look at the Canadiens lineup, the one ideal matchup or the ideal would make up the ideal pairing with Shea Weber?
Well, I mean, David's not a 1-2 guy. He can.
Neither is Jordy Benn.
Pardon me?
Neither is Jordy Benn, though.
No, I agree. Yeah. I'm not arguing. But then you have to decide how you're going to play. You have to create roles. And if you're going to create Benn and Shea as your shutdown tandem, then that's what you tell them. You're going to play between 20 and 25, and all you're doing is just you're playing defense. You're not pinching. You're not taking chances. We're playing you against the other team's top iron, and you shut them down. Here's one of the things that I think is really important. When you look at this whole thing, Markov is gone. Yemelin's gone. Subban was traded. McDonough was traded. Sergachev was traded. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. That's 5 guys that you should have on your defense. That's a pretty darn good defense. So the question needs to be asked, when you made those deals and you didn't decide to do other deals, what was your vision? What were you thinking?
And that is the great question, right? Because, you know, Drouin and Sergachev, I'm going to let this play out. And the Weber and Subban, even for those who are very pro PK Subban and thought that, you know, he is the better of the defensemen, I'm not overly concerned with the Weber Subban trade thus far.
You will be when it's 4 years down the road.
But I'm more concerned, Pierre, when I watch a front office not acquire somebody to ride shotgun with Shea Weber.
This is what I'm saying, and this is not to be mean. This is Rod. Did we not talk about this when all these deals were made?
Sure
did. Not 5 weeks down the road, the day of. The Sergachev one is troublesome, not because they got Drouin. Drouin's fine. He's fine. He's not a centerman. He's a winger. He's a top six winger in the league. Like, he can play in your top two lines as a winger. He is. He's good. Sergachev's going to have a chance to win a major trophy. He is. He's going to have a chance to win a Norris.
Pierre, you got the night off tonight?
Well, what does that mean?
All right, what are you doing? What is it Monday night? Monday Night Football?
I'm going to start by watching Washington and the Islanders. Then I'll watch a whole lot of Dallas and the Rangers because Lindy Ruff's coaching against his old team.
All right.
Then I'm going to watch a ton of Florida-Detroit because I'm heading to Detroit tomorrow. And I think, I could be wrong, but I think Carolina-Anaheim will actually be a really good game later on. So I'm going to be watching those.
Maybe a little bit of Monday Night Football? Maybe I just...
No.
Nothing, zero? All right.
Not tonight.
All right.
Pierre, it's a big hockey night.
It is a big hockey night. And Habs back in action
on
Thursday.
We're starting to see separation in the standings. That's not good news for the teams that aren't in.
No, definitely not. Always a pleasure, Pierre. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
We will, Simon. I'll be in Detroit. Take care, everybody.
Nice.
Have a good night.